to you. Let's give him all the praise and magnify him. Ah, what a good God and how worthy. Blessed be the name above every name. Praise God. What a wonderful presence of God in the service today. We appreciate all the prayer and the worship that goes into this. We appreciate our wonderful ministry group and the musicians and the singers and all the work they put in, helping us to make our way into the presence of God. So good to be in God's house on a beautiful morning. And we just had a wonderful marriage retreat in Gunnersville. Brother and Sister Blash were there with us. I want to thank Sister Pam for all the hard work that she does. She coordinates these special events and does wonderful work, and she does it effortlessly and has been doing it a long time for us. And so we appreciate her and all those that were involved in making that happen. Praise God. So, Brother Blash, we love and appreciate you, and you're a wonderful treasure to us. Brother Blash just got a new gig. He's the chief diversity and officer at St. Louis University. And he was drafted. He was compelled. They came looking for him like a resource that they didn't know existed. And when they found him, they came looking for him. And what a treasure he is. And I asked him if he had enforcement power in that regard, and he said maybe so. So we're excited about what God has done in him, and we're so thrilled to have Sister Blash with us today. And it's not all the time that wives can travel with their husbands when they're ministering. Oh, I see somebody else in service that I don't think she's been here before. So Shiloh Sutton is there. Grammy's got her. So she's got her shots, and she's gone through a period of time where now she's strong enough to fight off all your bad bugs and everything. So now she's in the house. And what a blessing that is. It's nothing like getting a call on Friday morning and on 3 o'clock in the afternoon having a baby. And that's exactly what happened there. But we want to pray for this little girl who, it's not like the lottery. It's like the hand of God coming down and selecting and dropping her in the middle of an apostolic family. And there's destiny and there's purpose there. I was watching Jax worship this morning, and I thought, it's a lot of people in China. And God just reached down in the multitude there and sets you in an apostolic family. What are the numbers? What are the probabilities? And what is the enormity of the destiny and the potential that God has in mind there? Praise God. All I know is that the Word of God says, I'm going to draw these, but I'm going to draw others also. God's always looking for the others. He's always looking for more. And there's so many ways that he accomplishes that. And I don't know how many of you have heard Brother Blash's testimony, but I have a mental image of you sitting on a curbside with a house burning across the street and a gentle angel telling you that everything was going to be all right. And you should have perished in that fire with everybody else. But God reached down and sent someone and picked you up and carried you out. I'm amazed at what God does. And part of the destiny and the potential and the purpose of that is you being here today. So I'm listening, and I want to hear what God has to say. Would you just extend your hand toward him as he comes today and pray God's blessing and strength and anointing on him? God, mighty God, bless him and use him today.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Take some time. I covered those prayers, so just keep them coming. Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. God, we love you. We love you, Lord God. Would you just give him praise one more time? Lift your voice to him. Hallelujah. Wonderful God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, everyone wants to write a book. I've got 3 half books. But I think if I were to write a book about my life, it wouldn't be a technical journal. It would just be the blessings of God, the mercies of God, the miracles of God, the hand of God. It would just be chapter after chapter after chapter of that. And all of us could write that same sort of book, right? Amen. And today we won't write a book. We'll just give God praise for it and thank him for all his kindness to us. He is kind to us. He is kind to us. Well, I want to ask my wife to come and greet you in the name of Jesus. You can be seated, and then I'm going to spend a few moments in the Word.
Preis den Namen Jesus.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Preist den wunderbaren Namen Jesus.
Praise the wonderful name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So eine wunderbare Atmosphäre der Anbetung ist hier heute Morgen.
Beautiful presence of the Lord in this house today.
Amen. Und ich spüre seinen Heiligen Geist. Ich hoffe, ihr auch.
And I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I hope you can feel it too.
Amen.
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 Danke.
Jeder von uns hat eine Geschichte.
Everybody in this building has a story.
Eine Geschichte wie eine von den Kindern, die aus einem anderen Land kommen, aus einer anderen Familie, aber Jesus hat sie in eine apostolische Familie gebracht.
You know, stories like the ones we've already heard, children being brought from other places and placed in apostolic families. Everybody has a story to tell.
Meine Geschichte ist sehr kurz.
Yeah, right. My story is very short.
Für heute.
For today.
I can speak English now if that helps you.
Natürlich.
Okay. Well, I'm switching in English, so it'll save us a little bit of time. But I just want to tell you that I thank the Lord that he came and reached out in a small village in Germany between Frankfurt and Wiesbaden and saw the cry of my heart. He saw it, and I didn't even know I was searching for him at the time. Just a little testimony, but it's big. It's big because I could have been dead. I am from a family where my dad was an alcoholic, and he died. And just having access to alcohol as a teenager was very easy. And it was the season which we celebrate in Germany. It's called Fasching, and here it's called Mardi Gras. And I made a mistake. I drank too much alcohol without having anything to eat in my stomach. And if it wasn't actually for God to touch my friends, to call the doctor, I would have died of alcohol poisoning at that day. So I thank God for saving me, for giving me another chance to worship him, to know him. Young person, There is only one hope and one joy, and that is Jesus Christ. In Him is everything you need. Amen.
Amen. It would almost be appropriate to say, let's stand and just have an altar call. I mean, we've heard such good singing. We've heard such good exhortation. And the Spirit of the Lord has been here from the very beginning. And I thank God for it. Pastor, thank you for letting me come and spend time with you. I'm always impressed. I forgot how big this complex was. And I'm always impressed to be here to hang out with you, to worship God with you. But I come very focused, asking God, what should we get accomplished today in this morning service? And God was very kind to speak and answer back. So I'm going to just take a detour from maybe a typical approach. And I don't want to preach to you all. I don't want to preach to you all, but you all get to hear it. Those of you that feel like you're just soaring, I just need you to be the amen corner. Those of you that are so confident that if the trumpet sounded right now, you would be raptured up, I just need you to be the amen corner. But for everybody else that's, you're on shakier ground, you've been in this spiritual tug of war since the first song. Maybe you couldn't lift your voice and say, it is well with my soul. I am going to very intentionally preach to you and ask you to make a decision when it's all said and done, to take a step closer to God. Now, how is that for being up front? Amen. So I'm not going to trick you. I'm just going to just come right after you. Now, tonight I get to come back. Actually, in the between services, I get to spend some time with some very precious ladies. And then tonight we're going to come back and share with you what God has for that service. I'm very excited about all of it. For now, I want to read from the book of Matthew chapter 13, verse number 44, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, 1 Corinthians 7, 23, and 1 Peter 1, 16. Very, very short passages. Starting with the book of Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 44, and the Bible says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. That's exciting to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19 through 20, to include 20. It starts with a question, one word, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 23, and then 1 Peter 1, 16. 1 Corinthians 7, 23 echoes what I've already read to you. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye servants of men. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I want to spend a few moments with you this morning talking about the most important things in life. The most important things in life. Doesn't seem like I was preaching to this many people when I was here last. Is that possible? Is the building shrinking or is the place growing? I think you're growing, aren't you? You are. That's awesome. Hallelujah. Amen. Lift your voice and pray with me. Father, we ask for your blessings. We ask for your mercies, God. I pray that you would begin to minister, Lord, if you've not already done so, that souls would allow you to minister to them, God, throughout this word, Father. I pray that you would help us, oh God, to touch you, Lord. I pray that there would be just the right climate for someone who's not said yes to you to say yes to you today, oh God. I pray, Lord, for those prayer warriors, God, who under their breath, God, will be speaking out the name of Jesus and pleading the blood and making it a little bit easier for someone else to say yes to you. I pray that you help us in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. You can be seated. Amen. Your pastor already said so many kind things about this talented squad that was behind me a few moments ago, and some still are. Thank you for all that you've done, music and leaders, to make this special. And also, what a cool time we had Friday night and on Saturday as well. That's always fun. Friday night's always fun because people are tired. They've been working all day. And I always tease them that I'm going to stay with them for about 3 or 4 hours. And so I have great fun because I crack myself up. I want to talk to you for a few moments about some very simple things. Value and worth. I titled this, The Most Important Things in Life. I don't know who said it, but someone said that the most important things in life aren't things at all. The most important things in life are people. And I think we could even take that conversation a little deeper than that. Words like value, importance, worthy, special. These constructs all have meaning, and for our world, they all have a special impact on our life because everyone wants to be valued and everyone wants to be important and everyone wants to understand that there is some worth. So our society has no choice but to rank order things. It's simply what they do. It's what we do. A $1 bill is less than a $5 bill. So we rank order that. And we're a little happier if we get the $5 bill versus the $1 bill. Or time. Time is valuable. 10 minutes is more than 2 minutes. And so if you get 10 minutes of time, that's more valuable than 2 minutes. Or in the area of academia, more education. If you have an associate's degree, that's more than a high school diploma. And so we rank order things. It's just the nature of it. As a matter of fact, our world will do, they'll tell you what's good and what's bad, what's healthy and what's not healthy for you, what is acceptable and what's unacceptable for you. And all those things will be defined by our world. But I find that in the Word of God, God places value on things that we don't even consider many times, things that we don't place value on. This morning, we were being exhorted to worship the Lord and placing value on the lifting of our hands and the clapping of our hands and the springing and the jumping. And in our world, there's just not a whole lot to that. That's exercise, but for us, it's worship, and God values that. We place value on worship because God inhabits those praises, and we place great value on being in the presence of God. I want to tell you that our world will not place value on the things that make you great for God. Our world will place value on the things that make you wealthy and make you look nice, but God will place value on the person that's given some ugly praise, that praise that ends up your clothes are all messed up, and you, it's just you and God, and you forget that there are people around you, and you just enjoy, and God places great value on that moment in time. You can miss it on occasion, and you can place value in places where God doesn't, and you can miss placing value in places where God would. I give an illustration of one service I attended, And I was not in the best mood in this particular service. But it was a service, and there was worship going on, and I knew the right thing to do would be to worship God. But I was in a foul mood. Anybody ever come to church like that? Anybody come to church like that this morning? I'm messing with you. Don't raise your hand, right? And so on top of not being in a great mood, I had an ingrown toenail in my big right toe, and it was painful. So, you know how you all are. Apostolics are always jumping and running, and I couldn't do that. Well, I didn't want to do that, and so I used that big toe as an excuse not to do it. And the preachers would come up, and they would exhort throughout the worship, and the preacher exhorting would start panning the audience, as speakers often will do, and they'll just kind of pan the audience so that, you know, you're not just preaching to the center group. And so the preacher would pan, and when the preacher would pan over my way, I would kind of make sure that I was at least worshiping a little bit so I didn't get caught out, right? Don't act like you've never done that. And praise God. Some of y'all are doing it right now. I'm just saying. And so I would do that, right? But I really wasn't doing what I should have been doing. In other words, the Spirit of the Lord was better to me than I was making it look like. God was kinder to me. He had been good to me, but I was just in that mood. And so I'm sitting there, and I put a lot of importance on how I felt in the moment. But the thing I should have placed importance on is whose presence was I in? I was in the presence of the King of Kings. That always supersedes your emotions. But it was a choice, and God gave me the choice, so I made the choice. And so one speaker gets up, and he's asking people to worship God, and then he says this. He says, everyone needs to worship God. He says, you need to worship God. Your big toe does not hurt that bad. I thought, well, if it didn't before, it does now. Wrong priorities. Some of us have sometimes maybe held back a little bit because of who was around us. Wrong priorities. God places great value on your worship, and so we give him our praise. Freely we give him our praise. But our world will never place value on that. We will rank order things. And so let me go back and say what I said before, but change it up a little bit. A $5 bill is probably more than a $1 bill. Somebody said amen. Amen. Well, you would think that's true, but what if the $5 bill is something I'm giving out of my excess, but the $1 bill is something that someone's giving out of their need? In that case, God looks at that $1 offering and says, that's very, very valuable. In that case, even more valuable than the $5. Or 10 minutes is more than 2 minutes. But what if I spend 10 minutes wasting my time on video games, but I spend 2 minutes talking to the Lord, or 2 minutes calling a brother to encourage him? You see, we got to think about the value of time. We said that education matters, but how you spend that really matters. You can have all the education in the world and never give God any of your attention, and you've wasted your life, your time, and all of your money. It's what God values is most important. What God values is most important. So value, how do you determine value? We go back to one of the scriptures that I read, and it's a beautiful scripture. It's in the book of Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 44. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, which when the man has found it, he hideth, and for joy goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. I want to suggest to you this morning that value has a lot to do with how much somebody is willing to pay for whatever that thing is they're getting. And God paid the ultimate price for you, which means that every person in this building to God is very valuable. I'm talking to people that might feel beat up from time to time, that might go through life and have the bumps and bruises of life, and bumps and bruises in life make you less valuable. But I'm telling you, not in the eyes of God. You are precious in the eyes of God. As a matter of fact, if you're down, if you're beat up, amen, if you've been hurt, if you've been wounded, those are the times that the Spirit of the Lord will come and knock on your door just a little bit harder than before. There is great value there, but so many people can't see it. Amen. I'm telling you, God thinks you're valuable, and that's all that really matters. And somebody said amen. I love watching the people of God, watching them do well, and watching them grow in the Lord and figure out their worth. There's a scripture in the Bible, a passage of scripture, actually. Let me read it for you. This is coming from the book of Romans, chapter number 5, verse number 8, 9, and 10. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, 9, and 10. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Somebody said, while we were yet sinners. Are you thankful for that? I'm going to stop for a second and just say, listen, you know, if you serve God for a while, you can get to a place where you just kind of feel like you deserve his love. But first of all, even if you don't, but even if you did, it's not about that. I mean, while you hated him, while we were yet sinners, this is how he felt about us. Now, this is important because it took me a little while to connect to God and to understand that God loved me. When I was 15 years old and I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I had a conversation with God, and that conversation was stunning to me. It was amazing. I was at the altar. My hands are lifted up in the air, and I blocked everyone out, and it was like I was in a place, a room with just me and God. And I knew I didn't need the preacher to help me with this. Pastor, I knew I was not right with God. And so I knew what that meant, that he must hate me. I assumed that God and I were enemies. And when he talked to me, the words I heard from God were words of love. I love you. I've been waiting on you. I was blown away. Who am I, oh God, that you would be waiting on me? I thought we were enemies. And God had to correct my bad theology. I was not an enemy of God. I simply did not know him. And the fact that I did not know him didn't change how he felt about me. He still loved me, even when I didn't love him. Amen. Hard to wrap your mind around the love of God, but I'm telling you, he loves you passionately. He loves you passionately. There was a woman in the country, she was in a very rural part of Missouri where my wife and I ministered with the church there for some years. And I would go in to witness to this lady. She owned a little greasy spoon. I mean, it was really a greasy spoon. I would order food just to be nice, but it was just, I'm not sure I wanted to eat it. It was just really kind of one of those places I was going to evangelize. And I would go in and I would talk to this lady, and I would try and evangelize, and I would share the word. And she was very kind, probably in her 60s, didn't look like she was in great health, but very kind, but never really would bite. Now, she had a business and a house that was less than 1 mile from our church, and she would not come to our church. She just wouldn't make a commitment to God. Many people tried to evangelize to her. She wouldn't make a commitment to God. One night, I was driving home, and it was snowing. It was late at night, and I was driving home in a van. In that part of Missouri, it's very hilly, and so these hills were starting to get slippery, and so I was hurrying to get home, and I got home, and it was the snow was coming down heavier, and I try to get ready for bed, and the Lord says, I want you to pray for Ann. That's that lady's name. And I said, yes, Lord. He says, go pray for her. Go pray for her. And I thought, yes, Lord. And so I got on my knees and I began to pray for her. And I prayed fervently for her. God, whatever's going on, help that woman. God, whatever's going on, Lord, minister to her, talk to her, deal with her. And I got up from that prayer and I laid down and I heard the Lord said, go pray for her. And I'm going, I did already. And so I prayed for her again, but this time with a little bit more energy. Right there in my bedroom, I prayed for her. And I tried to go back to sleep, and he wouldn't let me go to sleep. He said, go pray for her. And so I got in my van. Now the roads are bad at this point, and it's just a bad idea to be on these roads with a van or any vehicle. And I got in my van, and I drove the half mile or the mile to her place, and all the lights were out. It was later at night, and there was no sign that anyone was in the building. And I pulled into the place where I could see her home. And I just kind of looked out. And so I said, God, I'm here. And she's nowhere to be seen. So I'm going to pray. And I prayed for a few minutes in that spot. God, whatever's going on with this woman, I pray that you help her. I'm telling you, God loves you enough that he'll move the church to begin to pray for you when you won't even pray for yourself. He will come knocking at your door. Even if you ignore him, he'll come back and knock again. If you ignore him, he'll send somebody else. He loves you passionately. That's because he thinks you're valuable, no matter what you think about yourself. And I prayed for this lady, and it turned out that she still never showed up. So, Pastor, it was the next day, and now I'm wondering, what's going on? What was that about? And so the next morning, the roads are a little clear now, and I drive to the restaurant, and I just kind of sit there at the counter, and I'm looking at her, and she's cooking breakfast for people, and she looks healthy, and I'm feeling kind of foolish. And so I need to ask her the question. And so I say, hey, Ann, I'm just curious. Are you feeling all right? I'm sneaking up on it. She says, yeah, I feel fine. So now I'm having a conversation with God. I'm going, So what's this about, God? So I said, Ann, I just got to tell you something, and it may sound weird, but last night God told me to pray for you, and I did. Then he told me to come here and pray for you. And that woman stopped cooking. It was like time stood still. She said, when was that? I began to tell her what was going on and when. She said, oh my goodness. She says, I have heart problems. And last night I was sure I was having a heart attack, and she was trying to find nitroglycerin tabs, and she got up from her bed and she stumbled and fell down, and she was telling God, I'm going to die right here tonight. She says, and I was on that floor just praying to God to help me, and suddenly I felt better, and I was just able to breathe fine, and that pressure left my chest. She said, and I looked out the window and I saw somebody pulling off in their car, and I was wondering who it is, and I was like, and that is the love of God reaching out towards you. You may not know him. You may not call his name, but he knows you, and he knows you by name, and he thinks you're so valuable that he'd willing to pay it all the price. He'd willing to put himself on a cross and put everything on the line for you. I'm talking to somebody who last night you may have done things that you're embarrassed about. He loves you still. He loves you passionately. And I'm telling you, you ought to take this to heart, and you ought to make your way in a few moments to an altar. But if you don't, he still loves you anyway, and he's never going to stop working on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody who's been redeemed, and you're so glad he found you when you were lost. Would you praise him a little bit right now? Come on, my wife isn't the only one in this building with a testimony. Had it not been for the Lord knocking on your door. Hey, look around. You're not surrounded by perfect people. You're surrounded by people who God kept knocking and knocking. And one day they said, God, if you think I'm this valuable, and if you can do anything with me, here I am. Here I am. Do it. do it. You can be seated for a moment. You see, we measure everything. We place value on everything. We rank order everything. I'm not saying that's awful. As a matter of fact, one of the worst things you can do for your mind is to make everything in your life number one. You have to rank order things. You have to prioritize things. If you want to have a nervous breakdown, make everything in your life priority number one. Give everything equal importance. And it's not if you have a nervous breakdown, it's when you have a nervous breakdown. It's not when your body and your mind begin to give out. It's going to happen. So of course we have to rank order and prioritize things. So we assign value. This is why I love it when God is able to touch everybody. He can touch, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your background is, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're wealthy, if you're poor, doesn't matter what your nationality is, God is able to do a wonderful work of healing or salvation in every single life, and I love it when he'll do it all at the same time. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. The prodigal son was in that boat. If you don't know the story, pardon me for not giving you the scripture and all the background, but I'll try and summarize it. This boy asked his dad for all the goods, all the inheritance he would have otherwise been entitled to at dad's death. Give me my money. Dad, I want to go do my thing and live my life. Give me a chance to work it out for myself. And he does that, and he goes, and his life in the beginning, it's pretty good, actually. It always feels good in the beginning when you're on your own, when you're doing it your way. That autonomy feels wonderful. Of course, that begins to wane, and his friends thin out when his money disappears. Some of us got friends and relatives like that, but I won't talk about that right now. He ultimately finds himself in a bad place, and it's famine, and he's desperate, and he ends up having to work feeding pigs, and he's so desperate that he's about to make the mistake of eating their food. And before that happens, he kind of comes to this realization that I could probably still fit in somehow into my dad's house, and maybe I can be a servant because his servants have it better than this. And so because of what he's done and because of what he's gone through and because this was his doing, no one did this to him. He did this to himself. He begins to devalue himself, and then he begins to rehearse that devaluative state. He says things like, well, maybe I'm paraphrasing, I'm not worthy to be the son, but I can somehow be a servant. And he says things like, I've sinned against God, and that's true. And I've sinned against my father, and that's true. And I'm no longer worthy to be the son, and that's false. But he mixes the truth and the lies together in such a way that he begins to rehearse them. But when it's all said and done, it turns out that he's not worth anything more or anything less than he ever was in his father's eyes. You've got to understand the bruises and the bumps of life may devalue you in the eyesight of man, but in the eyesight of God, he died for the least and he died for the greatest. No matter where you are, you may think you're the greatest. He died for you, great one. You may think you're the lowest worm in this building. He died for you, low one, and everyone in between. And there's nothing the field could have done to make its value any more or any less. It was all about who found something in the field and who was willing to pay for it. I thank God. I thank God. I'm a part of that. So we have to figure out what's most important. What's most important? My grandmother was the matriarch of our family. I was so young when all of this happened that I was unaware. But she became angry at the pastor. I don't know why. Amazing, all those details faded over the years. But in her anger, she decided that I'm leaving this church. As a matter of fact, I'm leaving church, period. And she left, and with her, there was then my mother, and it just kept going. That one action impacted all those generations. So by the time I came into a church kind of like this one, I really knew nothing about God because my grandmother prioritized in one decision that her emotions somehow or another in her anger was going to be greater than anything else, and she walked out. She put all of that, her emotions, over her soul. I'm telling you, there's nothing worth your soul. The most important thing isn't a thing. The most important thing is your soul. Is it well with your soul? It's not your friends. It's not your job. It's not your pedigree. It's your soul. Is it well with your soul? Pastor, you're right. Poking fun at this job, I don't know. I think the higher you move up in your job, the less authority you really have. But I left a wonderful institution, and they gave me an open invite to come back if I didn't like where I was going. So I didn't leave them in a bad situation. But I went just a few miles down the road to another school of medicine, and I fell in love with it. The CEO of the hospital and I were talking, and he was interviewing me. I was being very careful to answer his questions. I wasn't picking my words. I was discerning what was happening in that moment, and I was really praying, God, is this right for me? And he paused, and he said, you know, it seems to me like you are discerning rather or not this is right for you. And he said, so I tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to pray with you. And I thought, it's right. Because there's nothing more important than my soul. This job ain't worth it. That job won't get me to heaven. Nothing more important than your soul. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. How is it with your soul? You've got to be saved. God loves you so much that all the singing, all the exhortation, all the atmosphere setting was for one reason, and that is that somebody might say, God, it is not well with my soul, and I want to change that. I've got to be right with you. I'm almost done. Evangelistically speaking, I'm getting there. You see, conviction doesn't always, conviction never feels good. Anyone ever felt conviction and went, ooh, thank you, Lord? I mean, if you were, you were saying it by faith. You were saying it because you know you should be thankful, but conviction doesn't feel good. I have a friend, and she was a coworker at that time, and I would invite her to our church. I think I shared this testimony, but it makes the point. And she said, Daniel, I don't like your church. And I said, it's okay. We don't like you either. So now that that's settled, do you want to be baptized in Jesus' name? Teasing. I don't always say everything I think. You may not believe that, but it's true. I do keep some things to myself. So I said, why don't you like our church? And she said, well, it's because, you know, I wake up usually every morning happy. But you invite me to church And I wake up Sunday, and it's not that I'm not happy, but for some reason I start crying. She says, and I fight it back, and then I get to your parking lot. And in the parking lot, the tears won't stop. And she says, I get into the church, and you all could be singing the happiest song, but I can't stop crying. I don't like coming to your church because your church makes me cry. I said, really? I said, when's the last time you cried like that? She got really quiet. She said, when I was a little girl at my grandmother's church. Your church reminds me of my grandmother's church. I called her by her name. I said, this is not a church problem. This is you not realizing how valuable you are to God. And anytime you get anywhere near him, he starts sending that message of your worth, and you can't believe it. You can't comprehend it. You don't believe that you can still be that valuable after all you've been through, after all that's happened to you, after all you've done. But God comes back one more time and says, oh, no, no, no. You are so valuable that I would die for you. And that causes something on the inside of a heart to begin to weep a little bit, and then it comes out. And if she feels that tug, she feels that tug. It's that tug of the Spirit of the Lord saying, I've paid the ultimate price for you because I think you're worth it. Stand with me. The most important thing. Once we get beyond your salvation and you being saved, we spent time talking Friday and Saturday about the family. I would say second to you being saved is your family. I wish I could go back in time and catch my grandmother on the way out the door. I said that she left the church when I was very young, but actually, as I think through it, it could have been even before I was born, probably was, because I just heard the stories of it. I wish I could go back in time and just stand in front of her as an adult and say, don't walk out those doors, because this is going to impact you and your children and your children's children. I would have said, oh lady, don't be so short-sighted. But you see, once she left, she knew that was wrong, and she felt even less valuable. So she never came back. My mother, some years later, came in for a little while to an apostolic church, and then she was out and she was in, and she's in now. Amen. I remember coming in at 15 years old with a grandmother that was in an apostolic church and a mother who had spent time in an apostolic church. I remember coming in not knowing who God was. And then standing in his presence at age 15, knowing I was so different than him that he must hate me. I didn't hear it from my mother. I didn't hear it from my grandmother. I heard from God himself. I love you. My mother didn't tell me God loves you. If she did, it was in passing. My grandmother certainly didn't tell me God loves you. I heard it for myself. And I just stood there stunned. This is so ridiculous. It's almost embarrassing. It's just me and God. My hands are raised. In my mind's eye, there's no one else there. and I said, "Who? Me? You must be mistaken." God didn't say this, but I can say it now. One of us was mistaken. It was me. I knew he loved you folks. You're the church. I knew he loved his people. What I didn't know is how passionately he loves sinners. I didn't know he loves people who would curse him. When I figured it out, I was completely disarmed before him. And I remember saying, "God, what do you want me to do? If this is how you feel about me, would you just lift your hands for a moment? God, there are people in this building. I'm asking that you would just find a way to whisper into their ear how you feel about them, their value, their worth, oh God. God, it's beyond anything they could probably comprehend. I can't comprehend it, Father. Not fully, God. How this perfect, holy, loving God who is righteous and all right, God, can love such an unperfect God, imperfect God, and unholy people, God. But I accept it. Come on, prayer warriors, give me about 1 minute. Just pray with me. Just pray with me. Father, I'm praying for those, God, maybe they've not talked to you in a long, long time. Maybe they don't see themselves as a part, God, of that body of Christ, that favorite group. Oh, God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that they would see it right now, how much you value them, God. It doesn't matter what their parents, God, how their parents value them. It doesn't matter how this world values them. What matters is how you value them. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, just a second. Ikola tarala mosiko ya la mos. Ikola tarala mosika ya la mos. Aoka tarala moso norota ya la mos. Ikola la mosota ya la mos. He loves you passionately. Come on, my brother. Come on, my sister. Would you grab somebody to the left or to the right of you? Maybe just take them by the hand if it's appropriate and say, "Hey, come, let's pray a little while. Come, let's pray a little while." Come on, some of us are going to pray and we're just praying to set the atmosphere. But some of you need to pray and really understand how much God loves you. He's passionately calling you, passionately after you. He loves you, thinks you're valuable and you're worthy of the sacrifice he made for you, that you might be saved, that you might be saved. Oh, kalamosotaha. Lift your voice and magnify him. Lift your voice. Oh, God. Come on, somebody hear that. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, I could be whole. Oh, come on, somebody needs to know there's hope. Everyone, there's hope. You come on. I was worth saving. You didn't know there's once hope. You came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So I can tell everyone I know.
But you came.
You came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping.
So you clean me up.
Come on, somebody make a commitment to God.
You clean me up inside.
Oh God.
You thought I was to die for.
Thank you for not holding my past against me. Thank you, God, for loving me.
cleaned me up.
You cleaned me up inside.
You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life. Clean me up and make